Elohim. Zion on the base, Elohim, Allah on the base. Okay. I thought that there is Ruach Hittim, when you knock the Zor'ah to Orim. I suppose you had already granted Hittim, but it hadn't yet grown. And he changes his mind before even the seeds begin to grow, and he decides that he wants instead to have Sa'orim. So what should he do? Yomtin la achiyat liyah, v'yobach, v'yachakach yizra. He has to wait until these seeds are matliyah. Now, the portion of the threat matliyah, of course, is that they turn wormy, which means that you prevent them from growing. However, it is rather difficult for you to wave a magic wand and say, don't sprout, and have them be matliyah. Therefore, the other trap, which is more reasonable, I believe, is the atliyah means until they sprout. Atliyah means they have these little tiny sprouts with little worms coming up, the little wormy. So you wait until then, and once you will plow them under after they've sprouted, they're gone. In other words, if you can't plow them under when they haven't sprouted yet because they're just sprouts. But if you wait until they have germinated, then you're going to kill them if you turn them under. So you turn them under. In some case, if they've already grown, lo yomar ezra v'acharkak ofek, ela ofek v'acharkak zoreya. Now, you should not, however, wait to be zoreya first and later to be ofek, because it looks like you're planting now Kalayim as is, even though you intend to take out what's there. Come,
you
hit
you. I mean, because once you're ofek, you then zoreya, then you're ofek again, so isn't that like, put it back to the right direction and have it grow?
Is that again?
When you're ofek the first time.
Ofek what? Okay. Is it once it grew?
You have slah, whatever it was, the little worm. And then you zoreya on it, and then you're ofek after the zoreya.
Are you
having
the
seed?
No, you're not having the seed.
You're not having the seed after the seed?
No, of course.
Intentional.
But Kamiye Choresh, when we say Choresh, I mean, Choresh could mean a Charisha to plow under Mamish. Plowing under, in other words, you'd have to take a plow in which you have the teeth of the plower every 2 inches or something, right? And that way you get every area of the field. Or you could just take one of those single, you know, what do they call them? No, there's a special word for the single blade thing. You go through it, and you basically did your thing. You didn't see to it that you went over every little piece of land. So what is the shear exactly? Ketameh haridiyah. The shear is talmeh haridiyah, which is very, it means when the rains come down, you go over the field again. And that's not done very fully, as we'll see. It's called zanav hasus. And it's a sort of a back and forth, just go around the field without making sure that it's all nice and smooth. The shear is that you need to have less than a rova in a beitzah. You have to go down to less than the shear that's smoother. Right up to that, the megalat das, so to speak, that you want to be alter the min that's kilayim here. Now, atkama hi matlaat, when we say achi matlaat, how much time is that? That's very long here. Atkidei shetehei ba'aret shlosha yamin yomkom atina. And this is until such time as it has 3 full days to be in the ground. This is talking about where the ground is moist. Aval, but if it's the mekom hagrid, if it's a dry area, by yoter, it's going to require more time for the hatla'a. That's why we don't give a shear in terms of days in the Mishnah, because we're trying to cover all of our bases, whether it's tina or whether it's green. If we're talking about mekom tina, which is shlosha yamin, tani kein miksat hayon kekulo b'mekom tina. But if you're in the mekom hatina, we say 3 days, doesn't mean 3 whole days, even if it's a yom kippur. Tina is damp land. Concrete is dry land, desiccant land. The in simcha. Now, on the other hand, if these things had already been germinated, the horid behem tolatocha, instead of being hotei, if you want to let your animal go and bite off all of the shoots, with your tmata, raise the muteras, that'll do a job. That'll kill them. So if an animal goes through it and bites off every one of them, so that's just as good as making sure they're not going to go again. Now, my time is Rabbanan. Why did the Rabbanan say that you don't have to make sure that there's nothing left of the other meat? Because mitivanch natan da'atol ha'arosh afilu lo ratzach. They say because essentially what we're looking over here is for a gilui das and it's not meant to be kalayim. So therefore it's enough that you're showing, you're plowing under, you plowed it under. I mean, the question of it growing up, right, that's like it wasn't something that you wanted there. It's just sort of coming to ruin your field. And as we'll see, when things grow to ruin your field, you're not mechuyav even to uproot them, because everybody can see that they're not there because of your da'at. Therefore, even without resource, even if you don't have a ritzifut in the harisha, or just a loose harisha that doesn't cover every inch, that doesn't matter. So, Tony, this should not say Abishol, obviously, because Abishol doesn't hold it. Tony, Ein Chayavim, Lihiot Choresh Zat, Alekatami Haravia. That's why it says that you're not Machayav Chavisha Zat. And Rashim Ben Gamliel says, this Talmei Ravia, we used to call it Zanavasus. Because the way that you do it is, you're so not marked that you make a U-turn at the end of each telling. In other words, instead of picking up the plow, positioning yourself properly so that you have now one row right next to the other row, you just turn around at the end, you keep turning around until you finish the whole, which is just like very, very unprofessional, and so you're not going to cover that very well. But nonetheless, that's sufficient over here. They say, sof afrash hazo negeh bezo, sof afrash hazo negeh bezo. So each telem touches the telem after it. My time at Abishol, what is Abishol's svara that he says that it's tokef me rova? He says, look, mikivan shechil berova dayo. If you're memayed it from the rova, then that's enough. In other words, we should be looking for a reason why Abishol holds you need more, not less. I mean, it's a very strange Gemara. But the truth is that the Gemara, can you say that, Daniel? Seem to be nodding off. And you seem to be a little bit nodding off here. No? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're with us. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's the height. And now you see, you got to go all the way down. So it's a little bit strange for us to be asking why it's enough. But the point is that the Gemara is taking for granted that once Abishol is saying that we got to worry about the shear and not what you do, he seems to be following the sheet of Rabbiosi. Because Rabbi Yossi argued with Rabbanan in the previous Mishnah regarding having started to be mamayat the Rova HaKav, whether you have to take the whole darn thing out or whether it's enough to make it only less than the shear that is going to cause the kelayim. Now over here, for some reason, he's more mocked than Rabbanan, but he's not willing to take it as far as Rabbi Yossi would take it, that you need to get rid of every single sprab. He says it's enough if you make it less than the shear of the rova, less than the shear of 1/24. Why is it enough? So that's what we're addressing over here. It's enough because you're doing a mice over here of Akira, and that makes it evident. That much I hold. So in other words, what are we saying here? That Abishol Kuribiosi, right? I mean, Abishol is saying over here we have to be marked. So the Rabbanim in the previous Mishnah, they said, no, it's just be Mamai. And when they come to over here, they say, well, yeah, basically just be Mamai. I mean, not even be Mamai from the shear, just be Mamai from what's here. So in other words, he takes it, we're going one level up. The Rabbanim over there would say, Mamai me ashir. Over here say, just go through the motions of being Mamai. Rabbi Yossi, who said over there, be Mamai completely, Yivor completely, over here, except you might. Is that what we're saying? Because since you're doing such an obvious act of Akira, which you don't do over there, that Rabbi Yossi is willing to go down a level. But that means that Abishol holds like Rabbi Yossi, right? Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbanim. He could be saying that he's going like Rabbanim. He is saying that Rabbanim Amre, Yikim Shnatan Da'asor Lacharosh Afilu Lo Retzav, and Abishol, I'm going to kill the Rova Dayo. He's not arguing in the essential question of whether the shear is Kovei and you have to be Yivor. In the Mishnah before, he may also hold that it's sufficient to be mamayik from the shear, and not that you have to be yivor everything. All he's saying is that even though in the previous case you have to be mamayik from the shear of Roma, so over here the rabbanon are willing to let you go with the strange zanavasus type of chavisha here because of the impact. And I'm saying it doesn't matter. Just like over there, the rabbanon say you have to be mamayik from a rova. I say over here you also have to be mamayik from a rova. But in that case, I wouldn't have said like that Yossi that you have to be yivor kulo, because according to Rabbi Yossi in this case, he would have said Rabbi Yossi on there. So if lahashlim et kol harova, him or she says, or he would have said, it doesn't help to make a show of it. You've got to actually do it, and you've got to get rid of all of the initial plants there to make sure that nothing grows.
Halacha
gimel. Suppose your field was zru'ah, and you changed your mind, and you decided that you want to put in vines. So now, what do you do over there? Lo yomar et ta ve'achar kach ofer. Don't try to get away with planting and say, okay, but before this fruit grows, then I'll get rid of the vegetables and the tua that's here. Elo ofer, he's fine. Ofer ve'achar kach noteh. First, get rid of the grain, then plant your vines. What about vice versa? It's a little more difficult. The vines are already planted. And now he would like to plant this with tua. Lo yomar ezra ve'akakak asharesh. So he shouldn't say, well, let me plant first and then uproot the vines. Elo misharesh ve'akakak zorea. He has to uproot the vines first, because otherwise he's planting to ve'akarem. He's not sure if it's too much for him to uproot. Gomein ad pachot mitefa. He could simply cut down the vines so that they are less than a tefa high, at which point they're not called a kerem any longer. And then it can be zorea. And ultimately it has to be mishareches, otherwise they'll start growing again. But a kerem it's not once it's only grown a tefa above the ground. Haitasa deus a rua cannabis or loof. If he's growing marijuana or he's growing loof, lo yehe zorea uba agavehen. She'ain osin ela l'shalosh shanim. So over there, there's two ways of learning this. If we have loof and kandis, now over there, the germination of these things takes 3 years. So then, you know, it can't be summit on the shiur that we had before, because even if you turn it under, it's going to grow again, right? And then it'll end up being out there. The others say, even if you turn it under when it was already Zeruah, but every 3 years, these things are like perennials, but they're triennials, right? So they will grow again. Now, Alexis, we know this was a paper dye, we discussed it before, and it's very bad for your grain. You don't want that in your grain field. So, okay, Mekom Hadronot, Sha'olobaminim Harbet. Or, you were using your Goren for various things, like chitim, orim, various kitniot. Now obviously every time you put the seeds down on this Goren of yours, some of them manage to get into the ground, and in the end, your Goren is overgrown with all kinds of stuff. But you don't want anything growing in your Goren because you want to have a nice flat surface. So there too, it's simply damaging. But in Tiltan, Shalad Mine Asabim, also you have a field of Tiltan because it smells and it's beautiful. Now there's weeds in it, edible weeds. So let's say you have chicory or something growing in a field of Tiltan. In the Chayvino Tolanakesh, we don't say that the guy has to go and weed his field or uproot his Goren, or take out the satis from the tua, because it's clear to everybody that these are vicious weeds where they are, or he certainly doesn't want them. But Mela, it doesn't look like Kilayim. Again, because Kilayim is so wrapped up in the idea of how it looks, Marita Ayin, he thought. Over here, there's no Marisa Ayin for Kalayim, because nobody views this as a field that was planted with Kalayim. Now, if he went out to be Menachesh or Kiseh for one of these things, then only Mo'akarat HaKol, Chutzi Minachat. Then we tell him, now it looks bad. Right? Now it looks like you're trying to get this thing growing properly. You're thinning it, and you're... Then you have to get rid of it. If you're going to leave it alone, nobody's going to be fresh. You start working on it, then you have to get rid of it. Says the Gemara, tell me, Somchim Omarim Bitzad Yifanim. Let's say you have Omarim. Now, Omarim are already cut grains that have been tied up in a sheaf. You can take those sheaves and you can lean them up against your Yifanim, and there's no problem since they're not connected. They're not Choshesh. Well, every time you lean it, some grains are going to fall, and they're ultimately going to germinate, and it's going to look like a lion. Well, Rav Yosef, but this implies, Ava Amra, Sha'asur Litan, Bitsat Kama Yavesha, get them, cut out the Yavesh. Tell me when we get up to the next thousand. Yeah. Song? Or we just stop there?